You might like to turn in your Bible to the Gospel of Mark and chapter 9. God help them. Perhaps we can look to the Lord in a word of prayer. And our God and Father, we bow head and heart in your presence, set apart your word, honor your wonderful person, that God, we might honor you, our Heavenly Father. So deal with us downstairs, the church time and all such, for the sick, for the weak. God, here we are. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In our study of the Gospel of John, you recall, we're in the last evening, actually, before the crucifixion. And in the upper room, we're looking at that, chapter 13 through chapter 17. And in doing so, as we proceed, started that, we need to know a little bit ahead of time what happened. Because what happened ahead of time is going to govern what the Lord is going to say and why he says it. So now, in the light of that, and they have an incident, the disciples do, just before the meal, they have an incident. But then, 6 months earlier, six months earlier, they had the same problem. So in order to catch right then, chapter 13, we're going to go back 6 months in time, approximately, to another time. Thus, Mark chapter 9. What was the incident? Now, you'll please note in Mark chapter 9, starting, if I may, at verse 33. And he came to Capernaum, and being in the house, he asked them, what was it that you disputed, reasoned among yourselves, by the way? In other words, as they were going into the house, they had been discussing among themselves, a group of them, discussing among themselves. And thus they were talking. Now, of course, the Lord knew what they were talking about, but he was not involved in the conversation. Now, in the conversation, you have to understand that they're Jews, they have been, they're Jewish fishermen, tax collectors, etc., people. And the people have been looking for, in some form or fashion, the Messiah. The Messiah is going to what? Bring in the kingdom of heaven. And our Lord Jesus Christ, in his John the Baptist ministry, and then John had to go to prison and lose his head, but then the Lord took over what John was saying. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So if you were a Jew following, what are you going to do? Yeah, you guys, here's Rome, Caesar, Pontius Pilate, here I am, and now, and you guys are looking for the kingdom of heaven. And the Lord has spoken of it. And it could happen. He speaks of it all the time, and we're looking for it to happen in some form or fashion. Therefore, if you're looking for this new kingdom to come, you'd be excited in some sense and discussing, looking for the future, who's going to be what, where, when, how, and all of that type of stuff. So that's what you're going to be doing, and understandably that. So now, and just think of politics and all of that. and a company, starting a company or something else. Who's going to be what, where, when, how? So here they are, and they're on their way, and in the process of going, they are disputing. It's a common discussion among them. Not with the Lord. The Lord's left out of it. We don't discuss things like that with God. We don't do that. We discuss church stuff and other things. We don't discuss it with God. We discuss it with each other so we can play with it. If we're going to include God in the conversation, then all of a sudden, he's the boss. What he says goes, and we all have to yield to it. So we leave him out of the discussion so we can have our discussion. Now, Mark chapter 9, the Lord asks, what were you guys disputing or reasoning about? Verse 34. But they held their peace, they didn't want to say, for by the way, they had disputed among themselves who should be greatest. Now, they aren't going to say it, but God knew it. And he said, I know what you guys are talking about. Who's going to be the greatest? Who's going to be the superlative? Who's going to be the top one at the pile? Who's going to be king of the mountain? Who's going to be it? Understandably. And thus, in verse 35, and as he sat down, and he called the 12. So here's a whole group of disciples, people following him, and he singles out the 12. He brings the 12 forward to say something to them. Verse 35. And he sat down and called the 12 and saith unto them, if any man desire to be first, the same shall be last of all and servant of all. Last of all, A-L-L, and servant of all. And then he took a child and set him in the midst of them. And when he had taken him in his arms, he saith unto them, so here's the little child, small is the issue, small. And little child was able to come, and he took him and set him in his arms. Now, verse 37. Whoso shall receive one of these such children in my name, receiveth me. And whoso shall receive me, receiveth not me, but him that sent me, that is the Father. So now, here comes, you're going to be, we're looking at, in verse 35, you're going to be, first is going to be last, and servant of all. And if you don't, you need to go and be as you got to receive a child. So A, he received the child. B, he told them that you want to be first, you're going to have to be last. Now, in order to capture that, Matthew gives us another window to see the same thing. Matthew chapter 18. And in Matthew chapter 18, picking up, if I may, in verse 1. At that time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. And he said, verily, most assuredly, amen, amen, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So A, you've got to be converted and in order to enter the kingdom of heaven. So, and it says that. So the word except. Unless you be converted, changed. The word converted means to turn your mind, to change your mind, to become another man, to become another person. You have to be willing to be something other than what you are. You are proud adults seeking to do whatever. And, as we should have started off, one of the great problems that we have as humans, and evolution is a real evidence of it, because evolution elevates us to the highest evolved of all critters and creatures. We're the evolved, and we obviously are quite different than a kangaroo, and we have all of that. So we are evolved. So it's pride. There's no substantiation for it, but it's pride in the sense, from their standpoint, that we're super duper. Well, there's no question we're made in the image and likeness of God. No question about that. But what's the real problem, God? It's pride. And if you and I took time to read in Mark 7 and that, what is the problem? The problem, listing a whole thing, and what have you got on the list? Pride. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 6. Proverbs chapter 16. What's that? Pride. Six things do I hate that are an abomination to me. What's the first one? Pride. I hate pride. Pride elevates the critter, the creature, up, making them higher and more than they are. What's the devil's problem? He wanted to be like God. He wanted to be up. Pride, pride, pride. He looked at himself. Everyone else looked at him and said, "You're beautiful." And he was. He was. Magnificent in beauty. And he said that. Pride, pride. So pride got him. So God, the problem is pride. We want to protect ourselves for security, surety, safety, all the benefits. We pamper, pet ourselves. That's pride. We protect ourselves, always. That's our problem. Now, hang on. So now, in the light of that, chapter 18 and verse 3, except you be converted, you have to turn around. And the little children is going to be our word we're looking at, little, young, infant, small, lesser, not big, but small, very small. So now, unless you become converted, turn around, change around, you cannot, except you be converted and become little children, you cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. So you got to become little children, and you got to be converted. So that's the first thing. You got to become like that. We're going to look at it and then answer it, I hope, a little. What do you want, God? What are you saying to the, they want to be greatest. We want to be everything. And God, over in Mark, you told us, the first shall be last and servant of all. And so God, here we are. So God, we're looking. And what are you going to tell us? A, you've got to be change and become a child. That's what I want. You can't enter the kingdom of heaven unless you change. Flat out right. You can't get in. You can't get in. Okay. Secondly, you got to become as a little child and be converted. And in verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble themselves as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So you want to know who's the greatest? Well, then you got to see the little child. The little child is greatest. The little child is greatest. You want to be great. You got to become as a child. The little child is the greatest. The little child's the greatest, okay? And you got to humble yourselves. Eat humble pie. Now, hold your finger here just a moment to chapter 23. And in chapter 23, just giving you all kinds of ways to see it, the Lord is going to say again, Matthew 23 and in verse 11. But he that 23:11. But He that is greatest among you shall be your servant, and whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, brought down low, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted, brought up high. Huh. The first shall be last, the last shall be first. Oh, and, by the way, without turning there, this word you're looking at, humility, back over Matthew 18, verse 4, humble yourself. He humbled himself. You've got to humble himself. Has to. That is what our Lord did. Philippians 2:8. He humbled, there's your word, he humbled himself and became obedient to the death of the cross. He humbled himself. So whatever it is, God, our Lord did it. Our Lord is there ahead of us. Uh-huh, that's right. That's right. Now, so we got to go and be converted, and we got to go and humble ourselves and become as a little child, and if we do, that'll be the greatest. And you guys all want to be great. You're all fighting among yourselves, disputing who's going to be the greatest. Now, and while you're here, you're right next door, chapter 19 and verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray, and the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, suffer, permit the little children, and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. So you've got to become as a little child. They're greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And you've got to be, and you got to become one. That's the kingdom of heaven's all about children. All about children. And here's Rome, and here's the king, here's Herod. Wow. All about children. Okay. Picking up if I can now again. Verse 5. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. Whoso receiveth one such little child, there we are again, receiveth me. So now you're going to add to it. If you receive, remember, a little child sitting next to him, and if a little child come to you and you receive him, you little child, then you receive him. Receive a little child, you receive him. Uh-huh, okay. And verse 6, we have some very important help. But whoso shall offend me, one of these little ones. You see the word little one? Now you got a different word. The word little, small, insignificant, small, those. And it's a demonstrative adjective. Pointing like this. Arrow, boom. The little ones. The little ones. The little ones, he says. The little ones. Here's a little one sitting there. The little ones. But whoso shall offend, make cause to stumble, one of these little ones which believe, they're believers. They're believers in him, in me. It were better for him that a millstone were, millstone is what a donkey turns, the word is in there in the Greek language, turning the stone, big stone that they grind with. Better than a millstone were hanged about than his neck. And that he were thrown in the sea, in the midst of the sea, depths of the sea, down deep, down the bottom. Better that he was thrown to the depths of the sea. Woe unto the world, because he offended. Woe unto the world, because of offenses. For it must needs be that offenses come. They're going to come. It's the way it is. You're in the world. But woe to that man by whom the offense comes. Now, God said, you understand, when you go and mock and believers that are believing in me, and you go and make the little child little, how can they be that little and believe that simple stuff of truth. Wow. To believe. You offend them. You offend me. Better that a millstone were hanged about their neck and they were thrown in the depths of the sea. That's God's thinking. So it isn't a nice hunky-dory everything. It isn't. Wow. Now, God, what are you going to tell us? And for us, warning, and for anyone, wherefore, if thy hand or foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee, it is better for thee to enter into life, halt or maimed, rather than having two hands and or 2 feet and be cast into the lake of fire. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out, cast it from thee. If it is better for thee to enter into life with one eye rather than having 2 eyes and be cast into hell fire. Now, God, you said all of that to give a warning. That doesn't mean you go and mutate your body. It just means a warning. You don't want to have things that keep you from going forward. You don't want to have pride that gets in the way and keeps you from getting anywhere. You want to be greatest. And your pride, your stupid pride, makes it so you don't get there. And God said, don't get in the way of those that come to me. All that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now hang on. Now, again, verse 10. Take heed, remember the little ones, he's hitting it, the believers. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, the same words. For I say unto you, that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. And the angels, I love angels. I never really knew I met one, but I thank God for them. Wow. We're in the presence of them, the bad ones and the good ones. That's, you know, now, God, what are you telling us? Do you realize that little believer that you offend? He has an angel right up there watching. He's there in my presence. His assignment is to watch over them. My angels know. The little one down there. They're over. I've given them ministry, the supervision, as it were, of watching over them, caring, handling my will for their life. Wow. The little ones, the angels, are conscious of the little believer point. The angels are conscious of a little believer. Don't offend them. If angels think the angels understand, they're little believers, not big believers, not the greatest believers, they're little believers. Angels know that, people don't. Now, and thus down to verse 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven, that one of these little ones, there's your words, should perish. God, you save them to the uttermost. The little ones. Little ones. Hang on to that. Wow. Little. That, it made it very clear. Little. Little ones. All about little ones. Now. And so the little ones, they need to understand, very small, that God, you're looking at people and you see them as little. Little people. That's right. Small. Small. Now. And it doesn't have to do with age in this case. It just has to do with being believers. Whosoever believes, the believers that are really looking to God and looking for God to take them. And it's a relationship, little believers, of endearment, little believers. Now, and little children. And let me show you that a little bit. I've got so much to get you to see this. It's awesome. Wonderful. Now, hold your finger here a moment and go over with me to the Gospel of John and chapter 21. And I want you to get God's thinking. You got to get lined up with how God thinks, what God wants. Because what can I do for God? What can I do for God, you see? I want to do something for God. God said, you got to readjust your thinking. John chapter 21, picking up in verse 5. Remember, after his resurrection, then Jesus saith unto them, children, there's your little word, have ye any meat of food? And they answered him, no. Remember, they're out fishing, and he's standing on the seashore, and he's ready for breakfast, but they haven't caught anything yet for breakfast. Now, hang on to that. So, here we are going, and he calls them children. I want you to hang on. Little children. Do it again for me. 1 John. Still holding your finger in Matthew. 1 John and chapter 2. First epistle of John. And you're going to do it again. And here's the apostle John going to use the same term. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. I wrote unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I wrote unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. So there is a growing up, but always, always, you're growing up as a child. Remember when you read John 1:12, as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the privilege, the power to become sons or children, children of God, to become a child. He's the Father. Children. They're his children. Now, 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, right up front, it is the last time, as you have heard, that Antichrist shall come. Even now, there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. So little children is a term that is used of believers. That's right. If you offend one of these little ones who believe, they're believers. That's right. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, and it isn't being childish. Not we aren't talking about being childish now. It isn't that. Childish means that not fit for an adult. Immature, silly, childish. No, it isn't about being childish at all. Over, if you would, we'll have to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, may I go to verse 11. When I was a child, now that word, when I was a child, an infant, it means two words, not able to speak. I'm a little child, but I haven't got old enough to give language to speak. I can say no and other things, but I can't speak. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, the same word. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. I don't do that. I don't do that anymore. I've changed. Aha, that's very good. Very good. Over to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 20. In this, moving along. Brethren, be not children. There's our little word, Matthew 18. Be not children in understanding. Howbeit, in malice, be children. Badness. In understanding, I want you to grow up. Isn't that what your parents wanted? The people that raised you? Didn't they want you to be able to speak and have some intelligence? And what do they want you to do? Stay a baby? Is that what they want? To stay a baby? You don't want to stay a baby. What do you want to stay a baby for? And there are situations that are like that. Baby. No, you want them to grow. You want them to grow. Why? And if things were all equal, which they aren't, You'd want them to grow up to be able, because you as a parent have a particular responsibility, and they know that. They are not conscious of the world, your little world, work, home, school, play, whatever you're doing. You are responsible. The little child isn't responsible. The little child doesn't care about the rent, doesn't care about what's in the refrigerator that much. They just need and have whatever their needs are. And the parent's responsibility is to take care of them and watch over them. And you hope they grow and understand, as you have problems and all of these different things, you hope the children grow up so that they can relate be part of the family, so they can have. When you're hurting in the family, then everyone understands you're hurting. And you're growing, and you're learning, and you're becoming. And they grow and develop in that. You want them to grow up, to become, so we can share my father's heart, my mother's care. I want to grow. That's right. Don't be little ones. Grow up when it comes to understanding. When it comes to badness, stay small. But in understanding, be men. Be an adult. Don't understanding, be men, an adult. So in understanding, we're still to be children, that's right, but you're to grow up and mature. Think of the Vienna Boys Choir, remember? And well, I heard them once, been privileged to hear them. And here they are, little kids, and they... But boy, you know, they have combined their naiveness and their skill, and all of it comes together. And here's a little boy with a magnificent voice singing. Wow. Wow. God, you hope they never grow up, but they do. They do. Wow. Now, so in the light of that, we don't want to be childish. We want to be in the place where we're looking to God and looking for God's good will and God's good working in every way. So A, we don't want to be proud. Pride is disastrous. Pride is. It's all about self. And we don't want to think we know otherwise. God, you say something in the Bible, and then we think otherwise. We don't want to do that. Nope. What right have I got to challenge what God said when his thoughts and his ways are higher than the heavens, and what he says is plain, simple, real truth in its original form, language, and that's what it is. How can you beat that? The very words God said, how are you going to question them? You don't question them. You don't question them. So, well, I'm going to read, this is what I think. Well, I don't care what you think. What does it say? Then that's what they need to, we need to understand that. So we need to humble ourselves. Our Lord did. We need to go, as we could have read and did read. Come, the Lord said, let the little children come unto me. And let them come, and that's how we came. We came. If someone stopped us, God said, woe be anyone that stops you from coming to Christ and wanting to grow and know and become everything we're supposed to be. And we're supposed to do that. So we need to be really willing, ready to receive instruction. That's what children do. They don't fight over everything. They just hear it. They don't understand it all. They can't. They're just getting there. But they recognize if there's a problem or a need or something, then they have to learn to recognize there's no more milk or whatever it is. And they learn that. They're growing. You need to be teachable, reachable. Now remember our Lord, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned it. That's our Lord. Our Lord. He learned. He said, I do nothing of myself. Remember John 5 and all of those wonderful things? 5 and 19, 13, verse 30. I do nothing of myself. I represent the Father. His works and his words. He's the Father. I'm just a wonderful, perfect humanity representing God in a most wonderful, remarkable way as God. So here I am, and the Lord, and you did that. So you are a son. That's right. That's right. And our Lord, you said it. This is, how many times you say it, God? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. He's a son. How has he come? He comes as a son. A son. He isn't a big chief. No, he isn't. No, he isn't. He turns around and gives everything to the Father. The Father. It's the humanity isn't honored. God the Creator is honored. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, Hebrews chapter 12. And you would recall in Hebrews chapter 12, God, the Lord, the things that he suffered, he went through, he went, not my will, but thy will be done, the Garden of Eden. And so now, and so looking at it, so he learned. Chapter 12 in verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. So God, you're going to treat us when we get saved. Are you going to treat us as big shots? Are we going to be employees getting paid and could get fired? No, you're going to be sons, adopted sons, as my son. And therefore, I want you to be as a son. You aren't a father, you're a son. You're a child. I created you. I redeemed you. You're born again. I did it. I'm the Father. You're the Son. You're a child. Don't come to me with your pride. Who's going to be the greatest? Don't do that. No, you aren't a big shot. You're little shots. Is that right? We like to think we're somebody. Somehow at work, at home, school, if I get 10 degrees and do this, and when you're all done, great sports figure, you get 4,000 trophies. And when you're all done, here's your trophy sitting in the wall, all dusty, and here you are, old, gray, and dead. Now, what good did that do? I got a big thing, and then what? Your body gets old, and down the tubes. You can't do anything anymore. You say, well, I'm powerful, powerful. I want you to know one little bug. One little bug, the bad bug. A bad bug comes along and gets you down inside. And boy, big shot, let's see what happens to you now as you curl up and can even waste away. No, God. God said, I want you to understand. I'm a wonderful Savior, a wonderful God. You need to trust me. Therefore, chapter 12, verse 7. If you endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? The Father cares. The Father loves us. He wants us to know what he wants and how he wants it. And if you be without chastisement, without any discipline at all, whereof you are all partakers, then you are bastards, you're illegitimate children. You don't even belong to me, said God. I don't discipline the world out there. It's all doing. The people you work with, people you go to school with, people you even live with. I deal with my own. You must come as a little child. You must be as a little child. Not childish, a little child. Childlike. Wow. You got to be like that. And, sliding down to verse 10, for they verily, for a few days, chasten us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the person is makes you happy, joyous. But afterwards, verse 11, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to them which are exercised thereby. So we learn. We're children. Little children, that's all. So what if, God, help me. They want to be greatest. Oh, they do. Boy, they got it all wrong. They need to have a soft, teachable spirit. That's what little children have. That's why we like them. Little children have their problems just growing up. And the trouble is, they grow up too fast. And they become like adults too fast. They want to be what's like an adult. Proud, rebellious, antagonistic, independent. We grow up too fast. Our society today is terribly making them grow up horribly fast in a day in which we live. Terribly fast. So we need to understand, A, we need to have a soft, teachable spirit. Mm-hmm. And we need to understand we're imperfect. We are weak. That's what children do. Children don't, if they see a big problem that makes them afraid, they aren't able to say, I'll beat the problem. They aren't able to say that. I know that they get concerned because they realize they're little, weak, and that they aren't perfect. And therefore, they're going to trust God. They're going to trust the parents. And that's what we're going to do. What are you telling us to be children? Children are dependent and trusting. They're teachable. And they're waiting. They wait. They wait for instruction. They're looking for correction. They look for it. They say, well, my child, hey, no, they're looking for it. They know when they do wrong. You told them, don't take the cookies. And they take the cookies. Now, I understand the opposite of that. But take the cookies, and the cookies are made for the Queen of England. They're special cookies. So, hey, you did you know you weren't supposed to take the cookies? He's only 3 years old. Absolutely. He knew he shouldn't have taken the cookies. So, he expects what? Correction. You don't correct them? You don't fix it? Then that's what he got. It doesn't matter. And pretty soon you keep growing up, and you have that whole scenario of thinking. And therefore, we need to have wonderful trustworthiness, trustfulness. In our helplessness, we're trusting God. In our inexperience. How much experience do you have at 3 years old? Not much. But boy, are you willing to get it, and you know you need it. So there's no, you couldn't put it into words, but I know it. I know I don't have all that. I can't do that. I can't lift that thing. I can't drive the car. I can't do that. And I know that. So God, here we are. We need to be children. Children. We lose it. God, you want us to be what? Trusting, trustful. Trust God, you're the Father. And you're the provider, you're the boss, and we're going to love you. You love us. No one else loves us like you do. We're your creation. No one else can love us like you do. And therefore, God, we're going to be loved and little children. We love being loved. That's what we like. Wow. So, God, you're going to deal with us. Now, and you're going to have wonderful submission to God. Simplicity, we want to have simplicity, singleness of heart in all that we do. And we want to go and understand that we're insignificant. In the light of God, how significant are you? Easy. I'm going to get you up on one of those, don't even have to go way up, just go 7 miles up. 7 miles up in a plane. I'm going to fly over. I want you to stand out in the parking lot and wave. Okay? Are they going to see you? Do they even care about you? Do they even know you're there? We are insignificant, aren't we? God said, do you understand? I want you to understand your insignificantness. In the light of who I am. Not in the light of each other, not in the light of your work, your employment, your school, whatever. I want you to compare yourself and see yourself in my, looking, I'm the Father and you're just a child. Would you understand that so that you have the humbled attitude as a little child? That's what I want. I want you to be dependent and trust me. I want you to grow up, but you got to be a little child to grow up, to become a young man, a fighter, and then the father. You got to grow up as a child. Now, if my father was still alive, could I not go to my father, Aaron, Aaron, could I not go to my father, and I'm his son, all right? I would be. I'm not anymore, because he's in heaven. And when I go there, I'm not going to be his son, and he's not going to be my father. You have how many fathers in heaven? How many fathers do you have on earth? One. God said, I'm the Father. Now, it doesn't mean we aren't fathers. It just means God is the Father. He's the Father. Wow. So we've got little children. I'm not doing help you with this, but, you know, a mother was going, and she made a little casual comment to her little daughter. It seems sometimes we can see the soul of a person in their eyes. And the little girl, child, took it, as they do, in their wonderful simplicity and quickness. And little children, that's why we like them. Little children. And thus, what did she do? She said, oh, mother, your soul is a little child. And the little girl is looking at her mother's eyes, and she sees herself reflected in the mother's eyes. Mother, you're a little child. That's how the mother saw the little girl. Now, God, how do you see us? When I look in your eyes, God said, I want to see a child. I want you to see a child in my eyes. I'm looking at you. I want to see a child. I don't want to see a proud, that which makes me, which is an abomination to me. I want to see a child in wonderful simplicity, submission, a wonderful healthiness to be a little child. To be childlike. That's all I ask, said God. I'm the Father, and you're just a child. And you got your life. That's true. But my wonderful assignment as your Father is to take care of you. Do you understand? You people that work, make money, work. You go to work. Does your employer see you? And as a father, maybe in some case, see you as a father, they just see you as a number, and you function. Don't you just function? They aren't. Only God sees you as a father. And God said, I want to take care of the post office, where are you? Whatever it is, they don't want to take care of you. We raise the cost of stamps, but apart from that, they don't want to take care of you. The business doesn't want to take care of you. We all want to take care of each other, but we don't. We don't take care of each other because we can't. Come on. That doesn't mean we can't help each other in different things. We can't take care. Come on. You can't. Jeanette's a wonderful carer. Did you get that, Jeanette? Wherever you are, get that. But she can't care that much. Do you understand? She can't take care of me. She can't do that. You can't take care of me. You can't take care of yourself. Only God can. And I'm dependent on a wonderful God and Savior who gave me everlasting life to be able to enjoy a relationship forever. Now, how can I beat that? How can I beat that? God said, listen, unless you become as a little child, you can't get in. You can't get in. But you aren't going to get in. I hate pride. That's what the church in Laodicea. They knew not that they were poor, blind, wretched, miserable. You dumb. That's the end of the age. That's our church age. You know, we don't need anything. We're pretty good. We need everything more than ever. God, you did a wonderful thing for us. So therefore, God, when God, we look to you, we're always in your presence. God, we're going to trust you with all our heart. We're going to be wonderfully, wonderfully insignificant in your significance. And thus we become a child of whom? Of Almighty God. We become a son in the Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, Lord of lords and King of kings. That's pretty, pretty prestigious, don't you think? A child of God. That's why we say it. Wonderful. My Father. Don't you love saying that?
I do.
Wow. My Father. Our Father and God, deal with us and help us understand. God, we get everything mixed up and tied up and trying to help people and each other and ourselves. And God, we lose it all because we just fail to humble ourselves before you with thanksgiving and thoughtfulness. God, of everything that we are not and that you are, and all that we cannot do and all that you can do, or what we can't make happen, but God, you can. So God, thank you for caring and loving us, and God, help us. In Christ's name, our Father, we ask it. Amen. Perhaps we can sing, please. 300 and